Were you an A-grade student at school? Were you maybe at the bottom of the class? Maybe you were somewhere in between. I don't know. I think I was kind of middling to okay. But research shows that your results at school could have a lot to do with your genetics. Studies of identical and non-identical twins have let researchers determine how much of their abilities are inherited and how much is due to their environment or their efforts, say. So if genes are so important, is our academic success already mapped out for us at birth? To find out more, we're joined by Brian Byrne. He's an emeritus professor in the discipline of psychology at the University of New England. And I'm pleased to say he joins me now. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Jamie.
So if our genes are already mapping out, you know, our marks, as it were, we shouldn't really be trying, should we?
Well, of course we should be. Genes sort of, set the broad parameters for us. But as you were saying, effort, engagement with the subject, and so on makes an awful lot of difference.
Mm.
It's a bit like sort of health conditions. We know, for example, that some health conditions like blood pressure, diabetes, and so on are affected by our genes, but that doesn't stop us treating and trying to prevent the sort of undesirable consequences of those sort of genetic card dealing.
Mm.
So genes matter, but the environment matters, and one's personal motivation matters as well.
How much of a role do the genes play in how you do at school?
Well, our best estimates and those of other groups around the world seem to say in educational systems like ours, where everyone goes to school and teachers are well trained, for the core subjects of literacy and numeracy, somewhere between about 50 and 70% of the differences amongst students are down to their genes.
Right, okay. So 50 to 70% of, I suppose, your smarts in the schoolroom come down to your genes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so then the other 50 to 30% is made up of those other things, environment, effort, things like that.
Exactly.
Right, okay. So, I mean, I guess it's something that we've always really thought of, you know. If you had smart parents, you know, generally you'd be seen as a smart kid. When did this research start coming out that we started kind of backing up those hunches we had?
Probably in the last, say, 40 years, there's been an effort initially amongst school subjects with literacy. The first twin studies for reading success probably emerged in the 60s and 70s. And since then, the kind of range of school subjects that have been covered have increased to include numeracy, science subjects. In other areas like the arts and music and so on, we know a lot less just because they simply haven't been studied so much.
And I suppose it is harder to kind of to quantify, in those art subjects, some of them.
Exactly, and quantification matters in these kinds of statistical models that we use to come up with these estimates.
How much of this is in those younger years, and how much goes beyond, say, into your teen years, into your early 20s?
Well, the genetic influence spans the entire school experience, from, you know, kindergarten right through to the HSC level. And the genetic influence can be quite substantial already at five. We know, for example, in Australia, at the end of even kindergarten, something like 70% of the differences amongst children's ability to read words and so on is down to genetics. But those numbers stay pretty much intact all the way through to, the last year of the NAPLAN, because that's recently the measure of school achievement that we've been studying in most detail.
Mm. So what if you get dud genes? How do you fix it?
Well, as we were saying earlier, there's lots of things that come into play other than genes. We know, for example, that good health matters. We know that dedication and motivation matter. And those kinds of things can come from people around you, parental encouragement, simply being turned on by particular subjects. There's all sorts of things that people have as resources that help them kind of manage the kind of luck of the draw when it comes to genes.
Because I'm just thinking, I mean, we were talking before and you're saying, you know, genes can affect, you know, 50 to 70% of a performance at school. I mean, let's say it's 60. So that means that you, if you work your ass off and you've got a great environment growing up, you're still only at a capacity of 40%, say.
Well, probably that's probably not the best way to think of it. That 60%, let's say, is to do with the differences amongst people. You can't translate that into 60% of your performance is down to genes.
Right.
It's just about why one person differs from another.
Right. Okay, fair enough. No, I understand. So it is those other things. So let's say, you know, you aren't genetically blessed. It is about probably for your parents giving you a robust environment in which you grow up. And is that the solution, I guess, Brian?
Well, that's going to be part of it, of course. But we also know that, let's take literacy, for example. We know that some children struggle with learning to read. We also know that there are well-developed and scientifically grounded methods to help children with reading difficulties, a focus on sounds and letters and lots of reading experience and good support. The same thing goes for numeracy. Even here at my university, my colleague John Pegg and his team have developed good interventions for children struggling with numeracy that can advance their performance, you know, several months, maybe even a year. So there are well-worked-out support programs and interventions that can help manage at least the more extreme sort of performance problems.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Brian, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, and thanks for speaking with us this morning.
Sure. My pleasure.